The text of Scripture I want us to look at this evening is the verse number 28 of John's Gospel, chapter number 10. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And he says, "I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And the words of this verse were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And at this particular time in his public ministry, he is speaking to certain Jews, Jews who had rejected him as their Savior. And we see this from what he says in verse 24 of the chapter. For it says, "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Here were a people who doubted that Jesus Christ was the Savior of sinners. They rejected him as Savior. And such was the unbelief of these particular people that even the great miracles that Christ wrought, those tremendous works of Christ, were not sufficient to lead them to Christ for salvation. You see that from what Christ goes on to say in conversation with them in verse 25 and verse 26 of the chapter. For it says, "Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. And the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." And my, such is the unbelief in their hearts. Such is their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that the chapter also tells of them seeking to stone Christ to death and to take his very life from him. And you see that in verse 31 and verse 39 of the chapter. It says, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." Verse 39 says, "Therefore they sought again to take him." Notice the mention there of the word again. This was something that there was that continual desire within their hearts. Such was their unbelief. Such was their rejection. Such was their animosity towards the Savior, the Son of God, that there was time after time after time they sought to take the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ from him. And it is in conversation with this group of people that we see the Lord's mercy, we see the Lord's grace, we see the Lord's love, because in love and in mercy and grace, he warns them, he speaks to them. And he warns them very particularly that they themselves were forfeiting a great blessing by their refusing to trust him as their own and personal Savior. What was that blessing? That blessing was indeed the great prize of life eternal, of life everlasting. And here we see how the Lord Jesus Christ highlights this wonderful blessing to them by what he says in verse 27. And verse 28 of the chapter. Here the Lord speaks of all who will repent of their sin and all who will trust him as Savior. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And by those words, he was warning these unbelieving Jews. This is what they were forfeiting. This is what they were turning their back upon by their refusal to embrace Christ and to trust him as their own and personal Savior as he was freely offered to them in the gospel at that particular time. However, here in these tremendous words, in particular verse 28, he highlights to us, dear people, the great reality, the great certainty of eternal life, of life eternal, of life everlasting. And people, this is a great truth, a great blessing that is mentioned and underscored to us time after time throughout the Scriptures of God. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Now these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Dear people, tonight in this gospel meeting, realize this, that eternal life is real. Eternal life is sure. Eternal life is certain. Yes, eternal life is the great treasure. It is the great blessing that the Lord has for all his saved people. This is the portion of the Lord to every one of us as saved children. All who are saved by the grace of God, all who trust Christ as Savior, have this great prize, this great jewel, this great blessing of life eternal, of life everlasting. If you ever go over to the city of London, you can visit the Tower of London. It's always a big tourist attraction. And there in the Tower of London, you can see with your own eyes the crown jewels. And the jewels of the crown, yes, they're of tremendous value, monetary value and worth as far as man is concerned, as far as the British monarchy is concerned, indeed as far as the world is concerned. Well, you know, dear friends, tonight the value of the crown jewels, valuable as they are in the eyes of man, the value of the crown jewels really pale into insignificance whenever they are compared with the great jewel, the great prize, and the great blessing of eternal life for all who know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And the time that is left tonight, it is indeed this great blessing of eternal life that I want us to think about tonight. I wonder as you sit in this meeting, I wonder tonight as you listen into this meeting, are you rejoicing in this great blessing, this great prize, this great jewel in your heart and soul of life eternal, of life everlasting? You'll notice, first of all, here with me tonight, notice the gift of eternal life. Look again at what Christ says in our text in verse 28 of John 10. He says, I give unto them eternal life. Again, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. And those words show us that eternal life is God's gift. It is the gift of God to all who repent of their sin and who trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be their own and personal Savior. And friends, tonight that really means that none of us whatsoever can earn eternal life. None of us can merit eternal life in and of ourselves, no matter how hard we may try as individuals. You see, the Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of the holy God of heaven. Indeed, the Bible says all of us are sinners. Sinners by nature, sinners by practice. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And what is our sin? Well, our sin really means that all of us have broken God's commandments, guilty. All the world guilty before God. All of us have broken God's commandments in thought, in word, and in deed. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. It's the breaking of God's holy law. And by our sin, it means that all of us have failed to live up to God's standard. Every single one of us have failed in relation to living up to the standard of God's holy word and his commandments. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have come short of God's glory in and of ourselves. Sin also means that we do that which is grieving to God. Yes, all sin, our sin, yes, grieves God because God is holy. God will allow no sin into his presence. The Bible tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day. Our sin also bars us from having fellowship with God. You remember Adam and Eve when they sinned and fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. No longer could they have fellowship with God. And it's the same with you and I. Our sin bars us from fellowship with God. The Bible says your sins have hid his face from you. And then the Bible shows us that our sin condemns each one of us to a lost eternity in hell itself. That place of eternal punishment for sin after this life is over. The Bible speaks to you and warns you now of that place, calling it the lake of fire, the place of outer darkness, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Christ himself warns us of this awful end for those who die in their sin. He says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Oh, people tonight in our meeting realize this. This is the terrible plight, the terrible ruin, the terrible havoc that our sins have brought upon us. Sin is an awful thing that brings upon us the condemnation of a holy God. However, tonight we praise God for the good news of the gospel. The Bible says this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the good news of the gospel is that Christ has come. He has come to this world as God incarnate. He has come in an errand of love, of grace, and of mercy. Indeed, as the sinless Son of God, he came into this world. The Bible says he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He did no sin. He knew no sin. He is altogether lovely. And as the sinless Son of God, what did he do? He died upon the cross of Calvary, the Bible says, for our sins, for our iniquities. He offered himself up as a ransom to God, and by his own death and by the shedding of his precious blood, he satisfied the justice of God, and he purchased for us this wonderful gift of eternal life, life everlasting, for all who will embrace him and trust him as Savior. Notice how Lord speaks of that very fact in his ministry that day. Look at what he says in verse number 10 of this chapter and verse number 11. He says, I am come, he says, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He speaks of bringing life. Life abundant, life eternal, and he has purchased this life for us by laying down his life as the good shepherd, shedding his precious blood, giving his life for the sheep upon the cross of Calvary. Indeed, the Bible speaks to you and I about the Lord Jesus and says, by his own blood, by the sinless, spotless, incorruptible blood of the Son of God, by his own blood, he obtained eternal redemption for us. If we turn in our Bibles, please, back to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 53. Here we read of the awful price that was paid that we might have everlasting life and life eternal. And look at what Isaiah says here about the Lord Jesus, speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 5 of Isaiah chapter 53. He says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. At the end of verse 6, he says, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Speaking there of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. In other words, there's life, life abundant, a life eternal through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his dying upon the cross and through the shedding of his blood. Indeed, the hymn writer rightly says, life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. And friends, tonight, yes, this is the gift that the Lord bestows upon you and I when we trust him as Savior. Why? Because Christ has come. Christ has died and paid the price of our sin and redemption's price upon the cross when he shed his precious blood and died and gave up the ghost and cried out upon the cross, it is finished. Oh, as you think tonight of eternal life, realize it is a gift. The gift of God that has been purchased and paid for in full. but that once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But not only do we see here the gift of eternal life, notice secondly tonight in our text, notice the pledge of eternal life. For speaking of those to whom he gives life eternal, notice what the Lord says about them in the middle of verse number 28. He says, and they shall never perish. And they shall never perish. And my, this is his pledge. This is his guarantee. Indeed, this is his promise to all who trust him as Savior. The Lord here is saying that such will never lose their salvation. The Lord is saying here that such can never be robbed of this great gift, this tremendous gift of life eternal, of life everlasting. Yes, the person who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they may lose their health. Yes, they may lose their wealth. They may lose, yes, family and friends. They may lose, yes, the comforts, many of the comforts of this earthly life and this earthly sojourn. But my, such can never be robbed of God's gift of eternal life upon them and in their heart and in their soul. And you see here in our text how Christ emphasizes this great truth by using the word never. He says, they shall never perish. That is emphatic. Something here that the Lord is driving home. This is his pledge, his promise, his guarantee. And friend, tonight the gospel is this: when you repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior, there is no power on earth nor power in hell that can ever rob you of eternal life and of life everlasting. You think of those tremendous words of the Apostle Paul over in Romans chapter number 8. At the end of that chapter, he says in verse 37 of Romans chapter 8, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Speaking of the victory there is for those who trust in Christ, he says, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there Paul is emphasizing this point that the believer in Christ has eternal life and no power on earth. And he presents all these questions and all these things, and he says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. When a person repents of their sin and trusts Christ as Savior, no power, no circumstance on earth or in hell can ever take the great blessing of eternal life, everlasting life from them. By speaking of those who are saved, the Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And that perfect day is heaven, the place of eternal life, the place of eternal glory. And when the Bible talks there about the path of the just, speaking there of those who are saved, those who have repented of their sin, those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Yes, the Bible describes death as the last enemy. And my, this is the last enemy that we all must face should the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ tarry. But even death itself, that last great enemy, cannot rob you of eternal life when you know and when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Turn in your Bible over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And look at what we read there in verse number 10. Notice the words of the Apostle Paul speaking of the Lord Jesus and what he has accomplished for those that repent of their sin and trust him as Savior. He says, our Savior Jesus Christ hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And there Paul is telling us of the great victory there is over death itself for all who turn from their sin, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. our Savior Jesus Christ, he says, have abolished death and have brought immortality to light through the gospel. It was Martin Luther who said that our God is the God from whom cometh salvation. God is the Lord by whom we escape death. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can know victory over death, that last great enemy. You think of the words of the psalmist David in Psalm number 23. There he describes death as a shadow for the believer, just a shadow for the Christian. And a shadow is not real. The shadow is not the reality. In other words, David is saying there how death has been defeated for the Christian who knows Christ, who can say of Christ, the Lord is my shepherd, who knows Christ as their own and personal redeemer and Savior. Oh, dear unsaved friend, tonight in our meeting, realize this, the pledge of Christ is a pledge that you can absolutely trust in. Why? Because Christ cannot lie. Christ can never break his word. And he says here, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. This is a word that can never be broken. Because Christ here is the speaker. Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life. Notice there what it says at the end of verse number 35. It says, the scripture cannot be broken. Here's a pledge that is absolutely sure, a promise, a guarantee that is absolutely sure. And the Bible speaks of the Lord in the book of Numbers and says, hath he said and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? What a pledge came that day from the lips of Christ. Bear in mind the people to whom he was speaking to here. People who had no time for him. People who had no love for him. People who had no concern for his gospel and for the blessings of his salvation. Yet such is his love, such is his mercy, such is his great compassion that he speaks to these people. Tells them, yes, they can have eternal life, that it is God's gift through him. And that the pledge of that eternal life for all who will trust him is they shall never perish. Oh, the pledge of this eternal life, the gift of this eternal life. Notice one final thought tonight. Notice the consolation of this eternal life. You notice again what Christ goes on to say at the end of verse 28 and then down in verse 29 of John 10. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You'll see there that that word man is in the italics. In other words, that word man is not there in the original. It's just been put in by the translators to help convey the sense of the words. And we really could read those words by saying, neither shall any. No power on earth, no power on hell. No matter what that power is, neither shall any pluck them, those who are saved, those who have eternal life, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand, out of the Savior's hand. He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What a glorious consolation. There Christ is saying that all who have eternal life, by faith in Christ the Savior, they're safe and they are secure in the hand of the Lord, and safe and secure in the very hand of God himself. You remember the words of Moses as he speaks to the Lord in the book of Deuteronomy about God's people. This is what he says. He says, all thy sins are in thy hand. Everyone who has repented of their sin, who has trusted Christ to be their Savior, everyone is in the hand of the Lord. What a place to be in. What a place of consolation. To be in the hand of the Lord. To be in the hand of the Lord means to be in the place of the Lord's eternal love. For those who are in the hand of the Lord gives them this promise. He says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Turn your Bible back to Isaiah chapter number 49. Isaiah chapter number 49. And look at what the Lord says here, speaking of his people, those who are saved, redeemed by the blood, who have repented of their sin and trusted him as Savior. In verse 14, of Isaiah chapter 49. He says, "But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Yes, the believer in Christ sadly may sometimes be overcome by unbelief, by difficulties and circumstances of life, thinking the Lord has forsaken them, thinking the Lord has forgotten them. And the Lord answers those fears and those queries, and he quells them by what he goes on to say in verses 15 and 16. He says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." Notice the promise. "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." And that all speaks of the Lord's love, a love that is eternal, a love that knows no change, a love that is forever the same upon all whom the Lord saves. In other words, such are never out of his love. Such are never out of his care. What did Peter say to the believer in great trial? He says of the Lord, "He careth for you." My, to be in the hand of the Lord means to be in the place of God's eternal love, love that knows no change. The psalmist, speaking of the Lord's people, he says of the Lord, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." There he likens the believer unto a sheep in the hand of the shepherd. And the Lord is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the eternal shepherd of his people. Need to be in the Father's hand means to be in the place of pardon. It means to be in the place of God's forgiveness. For what's the Lord's promise to all who trust him as Savior? It's the forgiveness of their sins. David could say of the Lord, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Now, when you're in the hand of the Lord by trusting Christ as Savior, your sins are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Also, to be in the Father's hand means to be in the place of grace. Grace to overcome the power and the very shackles of sin. Grace to live for God's honor and glory day by day. You turn back a little bit from our Bible reading here tonight to John's Gospel, chapter number 8. Look at what we read there in verse number 34. It says, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." That speaks of sin's bondage and the shackles, the fetters of sin. But look at what Christ has come to do. Look at verse 36. It says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." He sets the prisoner free. He gives grace to live for God's honor and glory. He breaks the shackles of sin and chains of sin that bind our life. Also, to be in the Father's hand means to be in the Lord's presence. It means the Lord's presence with you here in life. You remember the great promise that the Lord gave to Joshua? Joshua was in the Lord's hand. He was saved. The Lord said, "So I will be with thee, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And my, when you're in the hand of the Lord, you have that promise. "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Also, to be in the Father's hand, it means that the place of provision. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Also, to be in the Father's hand means to be in the place of protection. Speaking of the Lord, Paul could say, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work." The Lord's a shield, he's a defender to all those who are in his hand, all who belong to him, who trust him for salvation. Then being in the Father's hand means one day to being in the Father's house, to being in the Father's heaven with Christ and with his people forevermore. Turn over a few chapters from our Bible reading tonight to John chapter 14. Look at that chapter, the beginning of it. The Lord is speaking to those that are saved, who've repented of their sin, have put their trust in Christ, who are in the Father's hand. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Ye believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that that where I am, there you may be also. And there Christ was speaking of heaven. He says, where I am, there you may be also. Those who are in the hand of the Lord will one day also be with Christ in heaven. And what is heaven? It's a place of eternal life, everlasting life. A place where there is no sin, no sorrow. A place where there is no sickness, no death, no separation. The Bible says it's a place of a fullness of joy. It's a place of eternal fellowship with the Lord and all his people. Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians that heaven is to be with Christ, which is far better. Dear friend, tonight in our meeting, yes, this is the great prize of eternal life, of everlasting life that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ that is spoken of in our text tonight. Christ says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, I must warn you tonight, if you're still unsaved, that if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, just like these Jews did that day in John chapter 10, if you reject him, you have no hope. No hope for time, no hope for eternity. You'll be lost in your sin, lost in hell for forevermore. But if you come to him by faith, come to him just as you are, as a repentant sinner, put your faith and your trust in Christ alone for salvation, he will save you. You shall be saved, and you shall be secure forevermore. Turn back a little bit to John's Gospel, chapter number 3. Go down to the very final verse of John chapter 3. Notice what it says. He that believeth on the Son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, notice the promise again, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, friend, tonight unsaved, be wise. Don't be like those Jews that Christ spoke of and spoke to in John chapter 10, but rather flee to Christ. Don't refuse him. Don't reject him. Trust him. Come to him by faith. Confess your sins to him. Call upon him for salvation. And the glorious promise of the gospel is this, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Be like the hymn writer who said, out of my bondage, sorrow, night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come to thee. What does he offer to you tonight? Life eternal, life more abundant. Why? Because Christ has come. He has died upon the cross. He has risen again. He is alive forevermore. This great promise of the gospel is everlasting life to all who will look to him by faith and trust him as Savior. We'll close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 228 in your hymn book. 228, I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah. The message unto you I'll give, 'tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. 228, if you're not saved tonight, heed even the message of the hymn. Look by faith to Christ and trust him whom to know is life eternal. 228 will stand as we sing. Let's stand as we sing.
I have a message from the Lord. Jesus.
close our meeting with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence. We thank Thee, Lord, for help given in the ministry of Thy Word. Write Thy Word upon every heart and soul in this meeting and upon all the hearts of those who are listening in. Lord, You've said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. We thank Thee for all in our gathering who have this great hope within their heart, within their soul, who can say it as well with their soul, not only for time, but for eternity through Christ. But for any tonight who has not this hope, be it here, be it listening in online, speak on to their hearts. May they come tonight to rest upon Christ alone, to trust Him, whom to know is life eternal. Answer prayer, part us with Thy fear and favor, take us to our homes and safety, journey with us. Keep Thy hand upon us all for good throughout this week that lies before us. For we ask all these things in the precious name of our Savior. Amen. Amen.